Spring scrimmage number 2 is in the books. I'll tell you what I saw. I was there for the whole thing, both offensively and defensively. And another Tennessee basketball player has entered the transfer portal. All that and more coming up here on your Monday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, what is going on? I am Eric Kane, the host here of Locked On Vols. Welcome into a new week of shows. Locked On Vols, your team every single day, your first listen every single day as we chat Tennessee Volunteers, football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and all the like. Again, thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. It's on YouTube and wherever you find your podcasts available for you each and every morning. Don't forget, Twitter Tuesday is coming up tomorrow, so get me in those questions, comments, concerns. DMs are open at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. And if you're new to the show, welcome. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I write for the rival site, VolQuest.com, covering the University of Tennessee. So we're going to talk offense here, then we'll get the defense, then we'll talk a little hoops news from over the weekend. Tennessee held its second spring scrimmage of spring practice, and of course, this is kind of in place of the orange and white game. Wasn't able to have it this year. Neyland Stadium is currently under strenuous renovations, and there's no way you could play a game there right now. And they tried to have it at Nissan Stadium, but the Garth Brooks concerts kind of wiped that out for the date they had planned. So instead of doing all this, they kind of did the all-Vol weekend where they, you know, of course, they had baseball against Missouri, who just capped off another sweep, best start in SEC history. So that's very noteworthy, not just for the University of Tennessee in the SEC. This is for SEC history, best start ever. So that is awesome, awesome stuff from Tony Vitello's club. But you had baseball going on. You had the Tennessee relays for track and field. You had soccer. You had some tennis going on as well. But you also had the spring scrimmage to where they would open it up for media. It was also parents' weekend, and they had tons of recruits on campus. And they broadcasted it over to the Volunteer Village to where fans could go and watch it exclusively. It was not held anywhere online. It wasn't broadcasted on the SEC network. But it was for fans to go in the Vol Village. So unless you were in the Vol Village, and unless you were a part of the media standing out there with me for about the hour and 15, 20 minutes or so, you didn't get to see this spring practice. I was there, and let me tell you what I saw. First, we'll talk a little offense. Well, first, before you get into that, it was a spring scrimmage, okay? So many players were out, okay, and we'll go over that here in just a moment. You never want to take anything, you want to take everything with a grain of salt, what I'm trying to say, because a lot of these situations were coaching created in terms of backing up the offense deep in its own territory, down and distance tied, third and long, third and short, whatever the case may be. And again, there was just so many guys who were banged up and bruised, and you can't hit the quarterback. You know how much or how very important the quarterback is into the run game. So all that was, you were kind of having to deal with that this weekend. So if you watched it, don't take everything with a grain of salt. If you're listening to me right now, again, take everything with a grain of salt. Offensively, players who were not in action, not as bad as defense, but still some notable players who were not in action from over the weekend. Cooper Mays did not play. Dane Davis did not play. Jabari Small did not play. Princeton Fant did not play. Cedric Tillman did not play, nor did freshman receivers Chaz Nimrod or Cameron Miller. Most of these guys, very precautionary. We knew that Jabari Small hadn't been practicing lately. We knew Princeton Fant's no contact. Cedric Tillman wasn't out there the last time we had practice. Cooper Mays, we didn't know it was going to be out. But again, most of this was all precautionary. So for the offense, the first unit, I'm putting that in quotation marks, the first group that was out there, left or right on the offensive line was J.J. Crawford at left tackle, then Audley Lane. Jerome Carvin was playing center, Javontis Braggins, then Darnell Wright. Your tight end was Jacob Warren. Your wide receivers on the outside were Jimmy Holiday, Ramel Keaton. In the slot was Jalen Hyatt. Your running back was Jalen Wright. Darnell Wright is your right tackle. And your quarterback is Hendon Hooker. Jerome Carvin, when I initially went out there, I was like, this is spring. Why on earth would you ever have, Jerome Carvin playing center in spring? Like, why? Like, there's no point, right? I mean, it's spring practice. It's a chance to develop those young guys. If Cooper Mays is out, build young guys, build depth and all that. Sure, if you get in the fall and you have to play Jerome Carvin at center, I understand. But why in a spring scrimmage? Why do that? Well, for reasons I'll point out later, I know why. It's simply because they had to get some continuity. They had to get the ball snapped, and they had to. I mean, it all starts at the center, right? So it proved as the scrimmage went on that it was a necessity to have Jerome Carvin playing center with Cooper Cooper Mays out. The second team, left to right on the offensive line, was Gerald Mincy, James Robinson, Parker Ball, Jackson Lampley, and R.J. Perry. The tight end was Solomon. The wide receivers were Jimmy Callaway and Jancic on the outside, and Merrill was your slot guy. The running back was Lenith Whitehead, and your quarterback was Joe Milton. The third team, left or right in the offensive line, was William Parker, Nick Edwards, Addison Nichols at center, and then you had, from the center off to the right was all freshmen. You had Addison Nichols playing center, you had Mo Clipper playing guard, and you had Brian Grant playing tackle. The running back was freshman Justin Williams-Thomas. The tight end was walk-on Brock Bauer, who was a big guy. The wide receivers were Caleb Webb and Grant Furking on the outside, Marquarius White, Squirrel White in the slot, and of course the players, rotated in and out. So a whole lot of freshmen on that third team here for the second spring scrimmage. That is not a depth chart per se. It's just kind of the groups they were running with in the spring scrimmage the other day. I think the offense went, they had a 16-play drive to kick things off, the ones against the ones on defense, ones on offense. It ended with we'll say 10 yards or so. It was a rollout pass from Hendon Hooker to Jacob Warren for a touchdown. That looked pretty good. The second drive also scored. It was Joe Milton to Jack Jancic, who was the spring game MVP the last couple of years. That was for about 30 yards, and it was set up by a long run from Lenith Whitehead out of the backfield. That first drive, a couple of nice runs from Jalen Wright. I do want to make mention of that. Later in the scrimmage, Justin Williams-Thomas had a fumble, but I thought overall he looked pretty good, and Josh Heupel said as much after the scrimmage that Justin Williams-Thomas looked the best that he has all spring on Saturday. I thought Joe Milton looked pretty good on the day. Hendon Hooker played maybe two series tops, didn't play a whole lot. Josh Heupel said post-scrimmage that it was more about snap counts for those starters. That's why they didn't play an awful lot. But Hendon Hooker didn't play hardly at all. I think he played two series maybe. And Joe Milton got a lot of work. I thought he looked good. He dropped a really nice dime down the sideline to Ramel Keaton earlier in that scrimmage. Jimmy Callaway had the play of the game where they were backed up. The second team offense is backed up towards its own end zone, and they sent him in motion. They swung it out to him, and then he reversed his field and went all the way across field up the far sideline, juking a couple of guys, breaking some tackles, and scoring on, we'll call it about a 90-yard reception for a touchdown score. That was pretty neat. Thought Ramel Keaton played pretty well. Jalen Hyde had a few catches, but wasn't much of a factor, to be completely honest with you. So those were the highlights per se of the offense. Again, not a whole lot of reps. I thought Taven Jackson looked poised. I thought he looked okay. He made some freshman mistakes, don't get me wrong. As the third team got in, Addison Nichols really struggled to get the snap down. Keep in mind, again, Addison Nichols, he didn't snap a football before maybe 2 weeks ago, right? And now he's having to play center, and he's got everything inside the box. Everything's moving fast. The game hasn't slowed down for him yet, and he's struggling to snap the football. He had about 5-6, maybe even more bad snaps the other day, one of which resulted in a safety. And it's very much a mental thing when you have bad snaps like that. So Addison Nichols had a rough day, but again, Josh Heupel post game said, "Hey, he's a freshman. He's gonna be one of the great ones. Trust me. I have no issue with Addison Nichols." So that was a good sign to see there. But I thought the offensive line passed the first two drives of the day. Really those first two units, I thought the offense struggled from there on out. We'll get into the turnovers here when we talk defense, because the defense actually had a pretty good day as the scrimmage went on. But Hendon Hooker led a touchdown drive. Joe Milton led a touchdown drive. And then it was a lot of these young freshmen walk-ons getting a whole lot of reps and trying to show what they can do. So offensively, it was just kind of, there was a lot of players missing, and obviously not the pace that you want or anything, but players that stood out to me offensively was, let's see here. Offensively, where are my notes? Taven Jackson, I thought he looked okay. I thought the quarterbacks looked fine. Jimmy Callaway showed off his athletic ability. I thought the left tackles really didn't show me much to begin with, really at all. Whitehead looked really, really good. I thought Jalen Wright, when he was in the game, looked good. Keaton looked okay. I thought Joe Milton probably looked the best of anybody, but again, a small sample size. So that is my big takeaways offensively. It was a scrimmage that started, with sleet and snow, and by the time it was over, the sun was out and it was in the mid-50s with a ton of wind. So typical East Tennessee fashion, right? Nothing to, draw big-time conclusions for. It was just looked like a team that was in its 11th practice overall. It was very sloppy. The pace wasn't where it needed to be, but some guys went out there and made some athletic plays, and the first offensive line unit and the first defensive line unit looked pretty good, and those are all veterans, so that's kind of what you'd expect. We'll discuss what the defense looked like. A big day for the defense as the scrimmage went on when Locked On Vols returns, but I want to remind you guys about the Built Bar. Have you tried the new Puffs? If you haven't, you're really missing out on one of the best-tasting Built Bars that's out there. Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow, okay? They're fluffy. They're marshmallowy. They're not just a protein bar. They're a treat, and they're covered in 100% chocolate, just like every single Built Bar is right now. Puffs are a fan favorite. Incredible flavors. Yummy cinnamon churro, coconut, marshmallow, banana cream pie. So good. These are my new favorites, and I think they can be yours as well. Every single Built Bar is covered in 100% chocolate, the Puffs included, and they've got 17 grams of protein, normally only about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 net carbs. You compare that to your normal average, candy bar, it's got 240 calories, so a good, safe alternative to a candy bar that gives you 17 grams of protein. Go to Built.com, and while you're there, use that promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That's all at Built.com. Welcome back into your Monday edition of Locked On Vols. You can find this podcast every single day at Locked On Vols on Twitter and at underscore Kaner on Twitter. I'm Eric Kane, your host, and that's where you're going to throw in those DMs, your questions, your comments, your concerns on Tennessee football spring practice. It's going to wrap up later this week. Any more questions about the player personnel, who's looked good, who hasn't, all that type of stuff. Anything about recruiting? Nico Iamaleava was on campus this past weekend. 5-star wide receiver Cornell Tate. I spoke with him while he was leaving Knoxville. He was on campus. 4-star wide receiver Kyler Casper was on campus. Tons and tons of highly touted prospects were on campus. Of course, we have all that coverage at VolQuest.com. But if you guys have any questions on recruiting for Twitter Tuesday, throw them at me. Tennessee basketball, a lot of movement. Tennessee baseball, number one team in the country. Anything you have for Twitter Tuesday, throw it in there, those DMs, at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. And, of course, on Facebook as well, just search Kaner on air. So we talked about the offense in segment number one. Again, it was fine. I mean, it didn't look incredible, right? It's just so hard to draw any type of significant takeaways from a spring scrimmage like that because so many players were out. I mentioned the ones on offense who were out, Cooper Mays. You had Dane Davis, Jabari Small, Princeton Fant, Cedric Tillman, Chaz Nimrod, Cameron Miller. Listen to on defense. We know about the defensive struggles right now at cornerback because of the lack of bodies. But listen to this. Cornerbacks, these are players who did not play in the spring game. These guys I'm about to mention, these four I'm about to mention at the cornerback spot, haven't played all spring because of offseason injuries or something to the alike. Warren Burrell, Kamal Haddon, Brandon Turnage, Deshaun Rucker. We already knew those guys weren't playing. They did not play on Saturday. Defensive backs Christian Charles and Denico Slaughter, who moved from safety to cornerback to start the spring just for bodies. Those two guys are banged up. They didn't play on Saturday. Linebackers William Mohan didn't play on Saturday because, of course, he's missed all of spring. Juwan Mitchell is in a non-contact jersey, so he did not play. Again, four cornerbacks. Christian Charles, who was playing cornerback this spring, didn't play. Denico Slaughter didn't play. And then, of course, your two linebackers didn't have any contact all year, William Mohan, Apache, and Juwan Mitchell. All those guys did not play in this game. So what did that mean? Well, for the first group out there on defense, again, group, not starters, not a depth chart, play it loosely here. But the first group out there on Saturday, we'll start from the back and move forward. Because of all of the people out at cornerback, you literally had one scholarship cornerback playing today, or Saturday, and that was Desmond Williams. The other one was a walk-on. I don't even know his first name. His last name is Wright. He was out there with the first group, but he is a walk-on. Your safeties, your two starting safeties were Jalen McCullough and Trayvon Flowers. Your starting star was Tamarion McDonald. I was struggling over his name there. I forgot his first name. Tamarion McDonald. Your linebackers were Jeremy Banks and Aaron Beasley. And then your front four on defense were Byron Young and Tyler Barron on the edge. You had Amari Thomas in the middle and Karat Garland, who's a seventh-year senior by this point, right? Again, play the term loose here because, again, I wouldn't say that this is your absolute depth chart, especially in the defensive secondary. Yeah, I don't think Tamari McDonald will start at star, even though he had a good scrimmage. Those are your two safeties most likely. Desmond Williams might start at cornerback, but certainly he's going to have about five other players who are going to be, you know, pushing in for that starting role come the fall. Your second team on the defensive line, it was a combination of Byron Young, who had to play a little bit because they have no Leos right now. You had Roman Harrison, who played Leo. Elijah Simmons was in there with that second group in the interior defensive line. Amari McNeil, Karat Garland was back in there a little bit. You had Dominic Bailey, who is now a veteran in the interior, and you had Bryson Eason. That was kind of a group, a combination of those guys were your second team defensive linemen. Your linebackers were Aaron Willis and Pat Garland. Your defensive backs were all walk-ons, again, because you have no depth in the secondary right now for the spring. Keep in mind, you do have Jordan Thomas coming in. You have Christian Harrison coming in. You have Wesley Walker coming in, the transfer for Georgia Tech. Tennessee will probably look to add to some more guys in the secondary via the transfer portal. But for the spring, with all the injuries you're suffering with right now, when you get to the second team, it was literally all walk-ons. Cheyenne LaBruzza was actually at safety. And then Jackson Hanna, who is a walk-on linebacker from Nebraska, was playing the star position. Again, you had Tim Banks earlier this week and Brian John Marie speak about how he played out in space a whole lot at Nebraska, so it's a good transition for him. Well, he's been playing star this spring because Tennessee has no other bodies. Your third team, freshman defensive lineman Tyree West and Jordan Phillips were on that defensive line. Elijah Herring was at linebacker. Those were the only three scholarship players usually out there with the third team defense, okay? And all three of those guys played very, very well. So big things I picked up on, it was kind of offense early in the scrimmage with the first two units scoring touchdowns. After that, it kind of got wild there as the defense really started to take over. Again, reminder, Hendon Hooker didn't play much, maybe a series or two at the most. The defense managed three touchdowns on the day and a safety. That's big. The latter came on a bad snap from Addison Nichols that was fallen on by a defensive lineman. It was set up earlier by a Jordan Phillips sack. The defensive touchdowns were two pick sixes and scoop and scores. This is with the second and third team defense out there, okay? Justin Williams-Thomas, I mentioned that he fumbled earlier in the scrimmage. Amari Thomas picked it up and scooped it in for the touchdown, a scoop and score. Will Brooks, who is a walk-on safety, intercepted Navy Schuler and returned it for a touchdown. You had the final defensive score came off a Gaston Moore tip ball by Tyree West at the line of scrimmage, and it was picked off by Elijah Herring and taken to the end zone. Again, a lot of those were when the offense was backed up a little bit into its own territory. Just didn't have much breathing room, but still, credit the defense for doing that. And again, it was a makeshift practice field. It was not even 100 yards at length. So the defense, those were really the big takeaways. There were some go-getters out there. The young guys played hard. They played well. This whole team played hard on Saturday. It just was nowhere near a finished product, and that is okay because, again, this is spring practice when you're out six or seven of your defensive backs. You're out one of who I'm projecting to be a starting linebacker in Juwan Mitchell. The defensive line is still trying to find some players, but I do believe, I do declare, Tyree West is going to be a player. I think Tyree West, you are going to see Tyree West playing this fall for Tennessee. Now, will it be in a starting role? I doubt it. Takes a lot to be a starter for Rodney Gardner. Of course, he's not afraid to, you know, change up his starting front four all the time. I remember one of his first press conferences last year when he was added as an assistant coach. He said, you know, the year we won the national championship at Auburn, of the 12 regular season games, I think I had 11 different combinations of starters on the defensive line. So, but still, Tyree West is going to be a player. I thought Jordan Phillips looked good as well. And Elijah Herring, I thought, really came on too. But a lot of those times they were going up against walk-ons. I thought the offensive line for Tennessee, the third group, that was mainly freshmen on the right side, and of course Addison Nichols at center, I thought those guys really, really struggled. And again, that is okay. Those guys are supposed to be seniors in high school right now, and at points in times you're going up and trying to block some guys like Karat Garland and Elijah Simmons. You know, not every time, but at points in time. So it's okay, but a lot of these big plays came against guys that might not even be out there on Saturdays, but still, credit the defense for going and making plays. Again, three touchdowns and a safety. Now, that's impressive, right? Guys that stood out to me defensively, the safeties, but really it was Trayvon Flowers, who, you know, potentially could take a Theo Jackson-like step, a veteran coming back for another year, taking advantage of the COVID year. Can he study off the field, and can that translate on the field? Well, in the scrimmage on Saturday, he was calling some plays out before they happened. Specifically on screen passes, he would call it out saying screen, screen, screen. Tamari McDonald will come up from that star player, beat the block, and make a tackle on the backfield for a TFL. Tamari McDonald made two plays like that, and so I would say Trayvon Flowers and Tamari McDonald both stood out in the defensive secondary. You had Elijah Herring, who I mentioned that stood out. I think Tyree West stood out. So those were kind of my bigger takeaways defensively. Again, it was a scrimmage. There were music going on. There were about 70 prospects. It was family day. The parents of the players of the football team were there watching it in. It was sleeting. It was snowing. The wind was howling. The sun came out. It was wild. It was a wild time. So again, don't take everything I say to the grave here. So those were my biggest observations, if you want to call them that, offensively and defensively. I sat there, I watched the whole thing, and those were my bigger takeaways. Tennessee will have 3 practices this week, and then that's it. Spring practice 2022 is over with, and then you'll start to see that wave of the transfer portal, and then the players get back into the offseason strength and conditioning, and then look forward to fall camp. So those were my biggest takeaways from spring scrimmage number 2 for the University of Tennessee Volunteers. BetOnline, your number one source for all your betting, sports information, all that and more. It's on the website at betonline.net. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including this year's basketball playoffs, the start of Major League Baseball season, and a whole lot more. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and a whole lot more. Head on over to the website today or use that mobile device. Learn about all the latest trends in the action. Get in your future bets for who's going to take home the pennant for the American League and the National League, and who's going to take home the MVP for both the NL and the AL, and of course, your World Series champion. Those future picks are presented at BetOnline.net right now. BetOnline.net, it is where the game starts, and we'll talk Brandon Huntley-Hatfield to the transfer portal when Locked On Vols returns. Just a couple of minutes left here on this Monday edition of Locked On Vols. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me. I say it all the time, but I really, really do appreciate it. Hopefully it's a good start to your day each and every day. And of course, hopefully it is your first listen, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. So it's been a busy offseason so far for college basketball, specifically for the University of Tennessee. And that's the era of the transfer portal. That's not too much of a shock, right? Tennessee had some movements on Sunday when Brandon Huntley-Hatfield announced that he will enter his name in the transfer portal. This is from Brandon Huntley-Hatfield Sunday afternoon. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. It has truly been a blessing and an honor to have played for my home state in Vol Nation. To the fans, you are awesome. I would like to thank you for welcoming me with open arms. Thank you to my teammates, coaching staff, administration, and the University of Tennessee. After much thoughts and prayer, I've decided to enter my name in the transfer portal. I look forward to this next chapter. Thank you, Vol Nation." Two out, Brandon Huntley-Hatfield. Okay, so this was not a shock. I mean, we thought this is a name that we pegged way early on to maybe pay attention to just a little bit. Nothing was for certain or anything like that, but a name to maybe pay attention to just a little bit. And of course, it came out on Saturday that this was an impending move, and then it was made official on Sunday that Brandon Huntley-Hatfield was going to the transfer portal. This is a guy that in his lone season in Knoxville as a true freshman, he played in 35 games. He averaged just shy of 3 rebounds a game, just shy of 4 points per game. He shot 45% from the field, and that's about it, right? His role increased as the year went on. It truly did. And you kind of saw him and Jonas Adu kind of flip-flop playing times towards, the end of the year. But here's my thing about Brandon Huntley-Hatfield. I think he got frustrated at his lack of use early on in the season. There were times when John Fulkerson was just not there. There was times when Uros Plashes before he arrived and then quickly after he departed, meaning his little rise to fame there for about a 2.5, 3-week stretch early in SEC play. You could have used Brandon Huntley-Hatfield. There were blowout wins in non-conference play when you should have played Brandon Huntley-Hatfield. Rick Barnes, man, he's been doing it. He knows more basketball. He has forgotten more basketball than I will literally ever know. He's been doing it forever. But why did you not play him early in those non-conference games? Why did you not play him early in the SEC schedule? Because you did need him later in the season. You truly did. And then, look, this is just one example, but it's the example that knocked Tennessee out of the March Madness tournament. You had no inside presence whatsoever. no inside presence. And it wouldn't have been great from Brandon Huntley Hatfield had he gotten some more PT and some more minutes early on, but it could have turned into something, right? I mean, he had a couple of nice games. He scored 11 against Kentucky in that blowout loss at Rupp Arena early on. He had a couple other bright moments where he was really starting to come on, and he did improve. But I think it feels like he wasn't happy with the situation the entire year. And ultimately, you know, had conversation with the coaching staff. I guess it didn't go well, and now he has entered the transfer portal. So, you know, it just kind of is what it is right now. This is the era of the transfer portal, specifically in basketball, because the rosters are so minuscule compared to football. You know, just a couple of moves and your team looks completely different, right? So Brandon Huntley Hatfield has gone to the transfer portal. Victor Bailey Jr. has gone to the transfer portal. Quentin Dibunje, to my knowledge at the time of this recording, he hasn't officially gone to the transfer portal, but I believe he's going to transfer, and Rick Barnes said as much Thursday when he met with the media that he's going to follow Mike Schwartz to East Carolina. Rick Barnes said that it wasn't official, but he believes that's what's going to happen. So it'll be interesting. Santiago Vescovi is going to test the NBA waters. He still has his eligibility. He can come back. Rick Barnes also said on Thursday of last week that Josiah Jordan-James will do that as well. So then that's expected. Go through the process. Go to the NBA combine if you're allowed to, you know, hear back from people, all that and more. And, you know, figure it out and then decide if you want to come back or not, which I expect both Vescovi and Josiah Jordan-James to both come back. But Kennedy Chandler has already declared for the NBA draft. And then John Fulkerson, of course, has exhausted all of his eligibility. So, you know, that's at least 1, 2, 3, 4 for sure that are already gone. And then Quentin Dibunje is just all but official. So that's probably 5 guys from this past season that you're looking to say goodbye to, and you'll have to replace via the transfer portal or through traditional, of course, you know, recruiting. B.J. Edwards, you know, point guard is going to come in, of course. What's this team going to look like? It's going to look a little bit different, right? But if you have the core of Josiah Jordan-James, Santiago Vescovi returning, I do believe you're going to be just fine. Jonas Adu should take another step. Uros Plavsic will be there to continue his role. Can he continue to get better and better? Because he has improved since he's been at Tennessee, but how big of a step can he potentially make? Can Zakai Ziegler and B.J. Edwards, you know, patchwork that point guard position that Kennedy Chandler's leaving with? And I think the world is Zakai Ziegler. I do, but I was talking with somebody over the weekend. Like, my thing is, Zakai Ziegler played his role so well for the University of Tennessee this past season. How will he play the starting point guard role? Will it be well or will it be different? I mean, coming off the bench, his defensive presence, he was playing starter minutes, but he was the sixth man, of course. You know, his defensive presence, his pesky attitude, his ability to knock down a couple threes in a row and really spark plug this Tennessee offense, this Tennessee team. He was so great at that role. Now you take him out of that role and you put him in a starting point guard role. What's it going to look like? Can Tennessee go get a veteran point guard to potentially split the duties there with those guys? Maybe B.J. Edwards, they all three, B.J. Edwards, Zakai Ziegler, and veteran point guard, split the point guard duties, but you could still bring Zakai Ziegler off the bench in that role. I don't know. We'll have to see. There's plenty of talk of guys in the transfer portal right now potentially coming to Tennessee. We'll see, but it's very busy. And it just seems so much more busy, but really when you put it into context, it's probably about the same, you know, to football, but it just seems a lot more busy because the rosters are so much smaller. But Brandon Huntley Hatfield entering the transfer portal, he announced that on social media on Sunday afternoon. All right, that's going to do it here for this Monday edition of Locked On Vols. Don't forget, Twitter Tuesday is coming up tomorrow. Get me in your questions, your comments, your concerns. Tennessee football, spring practice, recruiting, baseball, basketball, anything you got. Twitter Tuesday, those DMs are open at _Kaner. And at Locked On Vols, and on Facebook at Kaner On Air. And you guys can find me on Instagram if you want to. I'm there as well. Just search my name. Guys, thank you so much for everything you're doing. The NFL Draft is right around the corner. Dive into the Locked On NFL Draft. They bring the front office to life every single day. They diagnose every prospect entering the draft, and they give you all that information that you need. It's the Locked On NFL Draft. Give that a listen. Make that your second listen right after Locked On Vols, which, of course, is listen number one, your first listen each and every day. Guys, thanks so much. Really, really do appreciate it. And until tomorrow, you guys enjoy the rest of your Monday, everybody.